Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read together verses 17 through 19, and then we can be seated. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Our Only Atonement is Jesus. Our Only Atonement is Jesus. And for those of you that maybe heard the word atonement for the first time, meaning Jesus came as our sacrificial lamb to take our place, to wash us in his blood, to cleanse us from our sins, past, present, and future. Man, what a deal. And so let's read this verses together and then we can be seated. And it reads, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. I also want to give thanks and praise God to our guest that's visiting us here this morning. Praise the Lord. I know Grace Medina for a lot of years, and I praise God for her listening to us all the way in Montana. My goodness. Man, thank you. Hey, I'll tell you. You know what? The internet, the little church here on the corner goes around the world. Can I get an amen? And it is your faith. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, let's look up here. The blood of Christ is not a subject we hear much about, even though it affects every one of us, the way we live and the way we die. And so our focus this morning is on the blood of Christ. Why? Because there are, praise God, so many churches throughout our land, around the world. But one thing that I can honestly say, and this is something that the prophet and I were praying this morning, is that a lot of the worship songs, a lot of the teachings and the messages, you don't hear about the blood anymore. And we need to talk about the blood this morning, amen? Hallelujah. It's not a grotesque thing. Praise God for the blood. For the blood is the only thing that can cleanse a man and a woman and a child from their sins. Can I get an amen? And so although many people, saints, may shun this topic, and some denominations have removed any mentioning of blood from their music or the necessity for Christ's blood for salvation, it remains. Can I get an amen? It remains. And whether or not it's applied to our lives will determine our eternal destiny. The heart of the gospel message is recorded in what we just read. But let's look at these last two scriptures we just read. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers. In other words, it's not about religion. It's about a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. Jesus had to come into this world, and you couldn't find any fault in him, that he was the sinless Savior. Can I get amen? Aren't you so blessed to know that when Jesus came, he had no sin? He knew no sin, that we may become the righteousness of Christ by faith. And so it is the power of God, the anointing of God, but it is the blood of Christ, that saves a person from their sins. So we need to look at this a little closer. We're going to put on our lenses to look spiritually at this. Why? Because we can't just read this on paper. We have to ask God to give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We need to see past these four walls and look what God is saying to us. Can I get an amen? So let's look at this right up here. We need to look at the seriousness of sin. We all came into this world tainted with sin because Adam and Eve failed in the garden. When they sinned in the garden, the Bible says, through one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. And because sin entered into the world, death has entered into the world. So here's the good news. God didn't leave us all alone. He didn't abandon us. Listen, he could have destroyed Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden, but he had purpose in his mind. He had purpose in his heart. He had purpose way before we were even thought of. He already made a way that you and I can enter in into this covenant grace relationship with him and be saved and be blessed in the year 2017. Can I get an amen? God had you in mind. He had all of us in mind. And so before we can appreciate the greatness of our redemption, we must understand the seriousness of our sin. If we belong to Christ and repeatedly sin against God, we can expect his chastisement as believers. But if we are not saved, we face his judgment because God hates sin and we cannot take it lightly. Can I get an amen? We can't even joke about it. Did you know there's movies that bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes right out of their mouth? Lord, have mercy. Oh, God, help us. But that's the mindset of the world. But as us believers, that should not even be spoken of. Can I get an amen? But God has come to liberate us. You see, sin comes in many forms, saints, but it always is an act of disobedience to God. Remember that. Sin is just an act of disobedience. It's missing the mark. And it also separates us from him and brings all kinds of painful consequences. So we're going to look at the problem, and then we're going to look at the fix. Can I get amen? You know, there's always a fix. God always makes a way of escape. God always has his best in mind for you and I. Oh, yeah, the world will chew you up and spit you out, but God has purpose for your life. So we have to look at the nature of the sin. This is the only book in the entire world that talks about the condition of mankind. Did you know it's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us how really sinful we are and that we need a Savior, that we need Jesus? This is why Jesus came. Don't look at Jesus as, oh, man, you know, dun, 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 dun. No, it's not like that. Listen, if you were on a boat and you were in Mexico deep sea fishing and then all of a sudden the boat just flipped over and now you're floating around and here comes the sharks. And one by one, you're getting eaten away by them. And then let's just say you're the last one left. And the only reason why you haven't been touched yet is because their bellies are full. They're just swirling around you, waiting for the moment to get that very last one of you. And then here comes a boat. And here comes a boat, and it throws out a lifeline. So, question is, will you grab the lifeline, or will you be the next meal? Well, I think you would probably grab onto the lifeline. Can I get an amen? Well, that's who Jesus is. He's our lifeline. He came. He came to pursue us. He came to seek and save those who were lost. And so when we get a paradigm change, when we understand that he's not our enemy, he's our Savior. He came to bless us and to save us and to love us. Hallelujah. That should cause you to have a love relationship with him. And then when he talks about the do's and don'ts, you do it because you love him. You don't do it because it's an obligation now. When you look at it as a do's and don'ts and I can't do this no more, I can't do that, you know what? You're going to be depressed. But when you find out that God saved you from hell, hallelujah, and you don't have to go to that fiery place, you're going to fall in love with him and say, man, I want to bless your heart, Lord. Come on. You don't think of evil things for your children or your husband or your wives or your parents. You want to love them, right? Well, this is how we need to love him, no differently, if not even more. And so one of the things in the nature of sin, it, number one, it deceives. Man, sin will deceive you. It deceived me for many years before I came into the saving knowledge. I got saved at 30. Listen, come on, many of you know my testimony. I came to the cross with $500 of crystal meth in my sock. Being deceived. Sin is deceptive. So if we keep sinning while telling ourselves that God loves us and understands, then we have been deceived, thinking that we are an exception to sin's consequences. We're not. Listen to what the scripture says about sin and how God deals with it. Did you know he deals with sin very harshly? But on the flip side to that, he's very gracious to save. Let's look at the word up here. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, look at this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? How many of you know people right now that you could honestly say, man, they are living in the world and they are all about themselves? Well, we don't need to know them. You know them already. We don't even have to mention their name. We won't put no one on blast. But you know who they are. And guess what? We were part of that group. No differently. We can't look at them and condemn them and say, wah, wah, wah. No, because we were like that too. But look at this. Do not be deceived. Read that with me. Do not be what? Deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm glad God wrote it and not me. You know why? Because if you and I were to have written this, man, we would put so many names on here. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. We can't put the robe on. God knows who are his. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's turn off the heat, please. Someone turn off the heater, please. Thank you. And so sin, at number two, it disappoints. Hey, there's no glory. There's no joy in sin. You know what? There might be a little bit of temporary happiness, but it's only for a season. Look at the consequences. Look what sin will do in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, aren't you so blessed? Huh? Aren't you so blessed that Jesus didn't leave us, God didn't leave us out there to rot and then just to die and then go to a fiery place? No, he has heaven in mind for you and I. Thank you, God. Saying sin always promises to satisfy, but the pleasure is only temporary. In the end, it will always disappoint and brings forth death. How many people, well, I mean, good people that you know, friends, family, they just drank so much that their liver blew up. Come on, how many of you smoked themselves to death? And their lungs were just filled with all kinds of nicotine, and then they're, boom, and now they're smoking or breathing out of their neck. Come on, we know the horror stories, don't we? How about the ones that are promiscuous, that just keep going from one bed to another, and then all of a sudden they got a disease they can't even shake off no more? It's because of result. It disappoints. There's no satisfaction in it. God has a better way. He has a better plan for you and I. Look what else the nature of sin does. Number three, the nature of sin, it disables. It disables. I want us to glean back in the Old Testament real quickly. I want us to read the instructions that was given from God to Moses, and then from Moses to his people, and then it was passed down from generation after generation. And do you know that the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. That means God's word is already forever settled in heaven. So whatever God written in his word, it's already in place for all eternity. So God's word cannot lie, it cannot change, it cannot deceive you. It's already forever settled. So let's look on how when Moses and the children of Israel were to obtain the land and the promises, God gave them instructions regarding it. Let me just say this. What we deal with in life, it's a heart issue. It's the issue of the heart. And the issue of the heart is, am I going to obey or disobey? Am I going to believe or walk in unbelief? Am I going to have faith or, contrary to faith, walk in fear? You see, the enemy to faith is fear. So if you're walking in fear, you're never going to walk into faith. Because faith is you believe God's word. Fear is, I don't know, I don't think so, and no, I don't think I can do that. And so it'll stumble you. So let's look at Deuteronomy 28:15. This is an instruction that was given thousands of years ago, and it still qualifies, it still constitutes the law of God today. And let's look at that. Verse 15, it says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, then all these, does your Bible say curses or blessings? Curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. That means everything you try to obtain in life, it's going to be like having a bag and the bottom drops out, and like everything that you try to obtain in life, it just goes through the bottom of the bag. Cursed you shall be in the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. These are people that have no regard, that have no knowledge, that have no desire to honor God. You see, it's about a heart issue, honoring the king. When you honor God, let me tell you, the windows of heaven opens up and he pours out blessings upon you. Look at verse 20. The Lord will send on you, oh my gosh, cursing and confusion and rebuke and all that you set your hand to do. These are people that just don't believe God and won't obey God. Until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. You see, God was giving them a warning. Choose life. This is why Joshua said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Do any of you have a plaque maybe somewhere on your door? You know, we have a door knocker in our home, and we have that scripture right on our home. So when people come to our home, they know that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, when you honor God and proclaim him, man, you are now walking in the providence of God. Because God has purpose in his heart that you would walk in his ways. All the way until you are tenderly in the senior age. And praise God, God knows when the last day we'll shut our eyes here on earth. But if you're walking in his precepts, if you're walking in his blessings, let me tell you, it's endless on the blessings that he showers upon you. And you will have favor in the land. How many of you want favor in the land? How many of you want favor on whatever you do, whatever you set your hearts to do? He will purposely cause divine appointments to take place in your life when you're walking in obedience unto him. Saints, people who sin against God lose every opportunity. Sometimes even their health and relationships. Furthermore, a believer who lives in sin will never become the person God desires or accomplish what he has planned. So we know that the nature of sin, it does many things. It's also right up here, a depressor. Listen, some people, they run to the doctors and then they, where are those pills that they take for depression? Sugar. Yeah, those things. You know, or they'll just run to the bottle. Or they'll run somewhere else because they're so depressed. But little do they know is that if they choose a life that's pleasing to God, God will deliver them from their dilemma. God will lift the cloud of depression. God will replace depression with joy. Hallelujah. Why? Because it comes from heaven. It don't come from the earth. Anything that comes from the earth is temporary. But what comes from heaven is from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. God stores up those things for you and I. Oh, yes, he does. But sin is a depressor. If a person continually lives in sin, it will have a depressing effect Even going to church or taking prescription medication will not help depression that is caused by sin. You know why? Because you cannot see it with your natural eye. Sin is done supernaturally. Did you know that? Because you cannot see the motives of your heart. You can think them, but you can't see them. I can't see your motive. You can't see my motive. You can't see into my heart. I cannot see into your heart. But God can see all things. And when he looks in, he shines the light. And he's saying, hey, give this to me. If you give this to me, I will replace it with something good for you. I'll take this dilemma from you. Oh, yes. Although the sadness may be hidden with a cheerful expression, it continues to sap the life and vitality out of the one who refuses to forsake sin. It does. It saps you just helplessly. But this is why the word of God is to strengthen us. Look at this right up here in Philippians. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And look what happens. The peace of God, which surpasses what all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. How many of you want your hearts guarded from the enemy? Because the enemy wants to try to bring you down. He's trying to blackmail you. He's trying to put you on blast. But God will cover you. Hallelujah. His grace will cover you. Oh, yeah. If you walk a walk of humility, he will cover you. Thank you, God. If you give your heart and soul and mind and lean it on Christ, man, he will be your all in all. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the nature of sin is also demonic. Oh, yeah. You know, right now, especially in Hollywood, 75% of the movies now are about the occult, about the dead, about someone demon-possessed, murder. All these is demonic. Why? Because it comes from the sinful nature. So when sin has overrided these people there, especially in Hollywood, all they think continually is something evil. And that's why we went to go see this awesome Christian movie called Let There Be Light. And I encourage you, when it comes out on DVD, we're going to have a movie night here, and we're going to put it on here on a Sunday night. But we were walking past. You know how you walk past the theater, and it has the big posters before you walk into the theater? Walking Dead, Insidious, all kinds. And then in the middle was Let There Be Light. And then all the other movies were all about darkness, about gang violence, or just violence and killing and shooting and the occult. Our land is infiltrated with that. But God is calling his people to be a greater light in the last days that we live in. Can I get an amen? And why do I say it's demonic? Because God already said it was. Look at our heart. Our heart is naturally like this. In Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Listen, evil and lustful thoughts come automatically. You don't even have to think about them. There are times in the morning, man, I get up and I want to pray, and man, here comes these thoughts that come out of nowhere. It comes from our nature. We need to be delivered from this body of flesh. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Can I get an amen? Because when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, it brings us now life eternal, and it brings us conviction. It causes us to live now holy. It empowers us, because our flesh cannot live the Christian life without the power of God. I hope you know that. You need his power to operate in the kingdom of God. This is something that takes place supernaturally. But look at this. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And so if you're bearing rotten fruit, meaning if you're an unbeliever who just chooses the sin, man, as soon as that apple appears, it's rotten, it's got worms in it. It bears that type of fruit. Man, but if you're walking in the joy of the Lord, come on. Man, people will know. Do you know that people will know there's something different about you? They will sense the presence of God upon you. They'll even see in your eyes there's a difference. The Spirit of God is there. And what resonates and what comes out of the mouth will be blessings and never cursings. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's God, God Almighty. So saints, true to his nature, the enemy, the devil, will do his best to entrap us in sin. Do you know that he's a masterful, mindful entity, and he's not equal with God? If someone told you that the devil's equal with God, someone is lying from the pit. He is a created angelic being who rose up in pride in heaven and was cast out of heaven because he thought it was all about him. And he was cast out. And a third angel followed him. And they became demons. They're not angels no more. They're demons. So there's only two spirits in the world. Did you know that? There's no ghost. Oh, man, that house is full of ghosts. Yeah, it's full of demons. There ain't no people walking around like this. Hey, I remember what you said about me. Come on, man. Someone's lying to you. There's only demons and the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And the angelic beings, the angels come. Hallelujah. And they surround your life if you're a child of God. How many want angels to surround your life? Come on. Man, he'll bring the big boys with the fiery, flaming swords. Man, that'll stand right next to you. Come on. If you're a child of God, God has your back and your front and above and below and around you. I want the angels in my home. I want wherever I go. I want angelic beings around me. Hallelujah. Why? Because he will charge his angels around you for those who fear him. If you love him, you fear him, and you're walking with integrity and honesty, man, and you're honoring the king, he will bless you abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But the nature of sin, see, we're first identifying the problem this morning, and then we have the solution. Thank you. Don't you, man, I'm so blessed to know that God has an answer for every dilemma that you may have. I don't care if it's physical. I don't care if it's mental. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's relational. No matter what it is, God has the answer to man's dilemmas. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we find out, though, that sinful nature is also destructive. Very destructive. It's violently painful. Did you know that sin destroys? Oh, yeah. Yes, it does. This is why be careful what you put your eyes on. I'm telling you, Hollywood wants to deceive you, thinking that it's okay to see 10 people just get killed, bah, 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 and drop dead. Man, you're not going to find that in heaven. And so don't look for an AMC up there to watch those kind of movies. They're not going to be up there. Anything that's going to not glorify God won't be there. And so this is why you need the Spirit of God living in you. Because when the Spirit of God is living in you, then you can put your mind and your heart on heavenly things and God's blessings. Oh, yeah. Look at Proverbs 5:21. For the waves of man are before the eyes of the Lord. So there's nowhere you and I can run to. We can run to the highest or climb the highest mountain. We can go to the deepest part of the ocean. We can go inside of a cave. We can go around the world. But his eyes still follow us wherever we are. God is with us always. Look at this. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Look at this. His own iniquities will entrap the wicked man. So we can be entrapped with our own deception, with our own evil ways. And I'm not talking about a Santana song. Look at what it says here. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of sin. He shall die for lack of instruction. In other words, people that do not have the Word of God, who the Word of God is not their forefront, who is not in their home, in their minds, in their families, for a lack of instruction, that person will die. That's why the Bible says that my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. Look at this. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. So we see that it's very destructive. And although sin takes many pathways, they all ultimately, saints, lead to the destruction of people, families, marriages, children, jobs, and even the future. The future looks bleak when a person continues to walk in sin. But God has a path, God has a plan, God has a way of escape. Can I get an amen? But we need to identify our nature. Thank God that God identifies our nature so that we can see who we are. We go, oh my gosh, I didn't know I was like that. Well, neither did I until his grace came. And then he sets us free, and then he gives us ears to hear and eyes to see. And then now he says, choose this day. Choose this path and watch me bless your socks off. And I can confess here before you all. I'll be 59 in December. And I got saved at 30. And I thank and praise God that the day I got saved, even through my ups and downs, even through my shortcomings, even with the nature of sin that we all have, we're not going to get rid of this nature until Jesus gives us the new body. He has blessed my life. Hallelujah. And he has blessed your life since you've given your heart to Christ. Can I get amen? Yes, he does. I see you guys walking around with the joy of the Lord. Why? Because it's what he's done in your life. And this is why you need to exalt him. And you need to proclaim. You need to pronounce. Everywhere you go, you need to share the love of God wherever you go and say, look what Jesus has done for me. Never forget what he's done. This is why he told the children of Israel, never forget what I've done for you. Put a rock or put a monument. Listen, we need monuments on our heart of the day that God delivered us from this. He delivered us from that. Come on. And you got to say, God, thank you. Thank you for delivering me. Man, it's all about Jesus, what he's done in our life. Why? Because if we look at this last seventh point here, the nature of sin brings forth, it brings death. And we think physical death. No. It could bring death to relationships. It could bring death, financial blessings that we need. Oh, yeah. I've seen so many people got fired from their job because they were caught drinking. Come on. Or they were caught drug, or they took a drug test. And they got busted. And now they wish they would have never done that. And now they can't even find a job. It kind of follows them around. Why? Because sin it brings forth death, not just physical death, but it brings death in your life. Things start dying around you. And you wonder, what's going on? What's going on? And God is saying, hey, wait, I can fix it all. But you need to turn to me. The world don't have the solutions. The doctor's going to run out of prescriptions for you. You need the power of God. You need the word of God. You need to be born again. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be walking in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And listen, it's never too late. Can I get an amen? I praise God. I was privileged to baptize my father. He was at the age of 70 at the time. And he's still living. He's 90, what, two? God's given him long life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And that's but the grace of God. Come on, that's the mercy of God. And I thank and praise God for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes, saints, it's a gradual death, or maybe it comes in an instant. But it's what the Bible says. I'm going to let you know what the Bible says. Don't take it just, well, Pastor Feast said that sinners die. No, the Bible says that sinful people die. Now, I'm just a mailman delivering the mail this morning. It's up to you to open up the mail. Or do you let those letters that come that have pink on them and you throw them away? And then next thing you know, The lights don't work. What's going on here? You ignored it. Look at this. Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls. Say that with me. All souls. That means the unbeliever and the believer. God owns all the souls. We're here but for a moment. Did you know that? Look at this. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall what? Die. Some of you have family members, friends, that are living in flat out rebellious sin. And it's your job to let them know, listen, if you keep living this lifestyle and if you die physically, you're going to a place of torment. God don't want you there. God is sending someone like me to tell you the good news. You don't have to live like that no more. Just turn to God and live for Him, and He will bless your life. He's got a better plan. Can I get an amen? He's got a better plan. Thank you, God. Look at this right up here. What is the saving power that brings forgiveness of sins? What is it? Well, we have to go way back to the garden because something had to take place. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to just send Jesus. No, He had to give us a picture of what He had to do. So from Adam all the way before the New Testament, there was a temporary covering. But He knew that was just temporary. We needed something permanent. Permanent. That will never detach itself from us. And I want that forever to come from God. Can I get an amen? Look at Genesis 3:21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made them tunics of skin and clothed them. This is when she bit from the apple, gave it to her husband, and then sin entered into the world. And then remember, they ran and they were hiding from God. And God said, why are you hiding? And then they became shameful because they looked at each other and they saw that they were naked. It was natural. It was pure. It was holy back then until they sinned. And so all of a sudden, shame and guilt came in. And now they're looking at each other, wow, man. And so God had to kill an animal. So this is the first time you see that there had to be a shedding of the blood. So He had to kill an animal, and then He had to clothe their nakedness because they are now ashamed of being naked. You see, when we walk a life of sin, it's very shameful. You know, you remember back in the day when you was, for me, I could only speak of myself, but you know, when we was doping it up and all that, you know, we were creepsters at night. We were hiding these things from most people. We didn't want no one to know. Yet everyone knew. You thought no one knew. I remember my brother, law enforcement. I call him every day, Officer Dave. He came and told me, and so did my Uncle Eddie. He worked for the DA's office. They both came to me and said, we know what you're doing. You better stop what you're doing because we can't keep the dogs off you. This is way back in the drug days. I was already forewarned. And I praise God that God came and saved my bacon. He saved me, hallelujah, from that. I could have lived the life of imprisonment, and everything could have just collapsed. But God had to do something supernatural. And when I came to Jesus by faith, the blood came and cleansed me of all my sin. Thank you, God. You see, saints, in this way, He demonstrated that the death of an animal and the shedding of His blood was the cost of covering or atoning for their sin. And later in the book of Leviticus, the Lord taught the Israelites that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And they were to offer the blood on an altar to make atonement for their sins. And without it, at that time, there was no forgiveness. Look at this in Leviticus. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Well, this was a temporary deal in the Old Testament. And God already had a plan and said that when Jesus comes, He will put it all to rest. Aren't you so blessed that you don't have to bring a cow up here? Huh? Or bring turtle doves and a cow and then sacrifice them right there and then throw the meat on an altar and then have the Levite priest lay hands on you. Okay, you're covered for another year. Yeah. And that was continual for them for thousands of years. Yet Jesus was on his way. They didn't know it. Jesus was on his way. Saints, the thousands of sacrifices offered throughout Jewish history pointed to the final sacrifice. And who was the final sacrifice? It was the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, whose blood would be shed for the forgiveness of sins for all the time. Now, when we read the Gospels, when we go into the New Testament, there was one who saw Jesus coming. And it was Jesus' primo. John the Baptist. Oh yeah, did you know they were cousins? Oh yeah. And he was out there, a voice crying in the wilderness. He was shouting out, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he was way out there in the desert, man. And most town folks thought this man had lost it. Man, his clothing was camel hair, and he would eat locusts and honey. Man, how would you like that for your diet? And they thought he had lost his rocker. He didn't. God had anointed and appointed him. And you know, many of the townsfolks were coming out to the desert. Why? Because let me just say this. There's a lot of false fire around the nation as far as churches are concerned. The Holy Spirit needs to be the real fire. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's the fire that draws. And that man was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was being carried by his mother. He's the only one mentioned in Scripture, John the Baptist, that was filled with the Holy Spirit before he even was thrust out of his mother's womb. He had the power already. He had God's presence upon him. And so when he was preaching, man, the Holy Ghost was the draw. Thank God. Listen, nowadays, you got all kinds of rock music, candles. Let's make it real dark. Let's make it look like a club. And they'll come. And the Holy Ghost is knocking at the door. Can I come in now? It's got to be about Jesus. Can I get it? Come on. Somebody has to say amen with me. He's got to be the draw. We can't use the world's gimmicks. It won't work. It'll crash and burn. Man, but we need to be filled with the power of God. Look at 1 John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. He saw Jesus coming. He's the one. He's the one that'll take care. And that's when he came to a conclusion that his ministry was over, meaning John the Baptist. He said, I must now decrease and he shall increase. And this is why when we come to the cross, the old man should be now decreasing. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And the new man should be increasing, which is the power of God upon your life. You should be able to speak. Hallelujah. And people will hear God's voice. You should be able to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Can I get an amen? Come on. God has equipped the church. He's empowered us to do his supernatural work in the days that we live in. There's people that are hurting right now. They're lost. A lot of them, their relationships have been shattered and tattered. Some people are in their second, third, fourth marriages and thinking that a relationship is all I need. Yes, you do need one, and it's with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Saints, Jesus came into this world to die. And he spent his last night with his disciples at the Last Supper. He told them that his blood would be for the shedding to bring about salvation. To this day, saints, we meet once a month here, on the first of the month. We have our communion service, amen? But why do we have it? To remember the shedding of his blood. Let's look at this right up here. There are four words that describe the work of Christ's blood in God's plan of salvation. So now, what did we just see right now? We saw the condition of man. We can't run from it. We can't escape from it. Until Jesus comes back for us, we got to deal with it. But he didn't leave us like orphans. He just didn't tell us good news and say, okay, now deal with it. No, he did the great exchange. At the cross, we gave him our black heart. Here, take it, God. And then he gave us a brand new heart. And we don't see this with natural eyes. Oh, but let me just say this. He makes it tangible. When you get filled with God's presence, you can actually feel him. It's not about feelings now. It's about faith. But he wants to ignite in your heart so that you will have no reason to doubt. There is no shadow of doubt that he lives now. Why? Because he changes your nature inside out. It's an inside job. Oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. You don't have that mind that you once had. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new walk. He gives you a new talk. He gives you a better way to dress. He does all these things that no one has to tell me no more. God will speak to you. God will show you his great and mighty ways for you. Hallelujah. So, because he came and he had to shed his blood, here comes the fixes now. Here comes the good news. How many love the good news? Yeah, I know, man, when we talk about the sinful nature and all this, you know, it's like, boom, 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 boom. Okay, so now let's rejoice now. Hallelujah. You know, if we don't understand who we really are, then how are we going to understand his grace? We got to understand, you know, what we're made of and what God said, how we are when we come into this world. Man, but he has a plan, and his plan is great and mighty. Hallelujah. So let's look at number one, redemption. Okay, some of you who probably were doorbusters Friday, you crashed into one of those doors, got in line, huh? And you had something to redeem the gift you bought, right? Okay, so as soon as you gave the clerk your slip, they brought you what you paid for. Amen? I guess that's how it works. You go and redeem it. Well, up until the New Testament, there was nothing to redeem us eternally. So there was a temporary slip. It was temporary. It was what we talked about, the shedding of the animal blood. Can I get an amen? But let me just say this. When Jesus came, hallelujah, he came to deliver us. He came to set us free. He came to show his grace and his mercy upon our life. Can I get an amen? How many are so blessed to know what he's done in your life? Come on. For some of you, he's about to do something today for you. Oh, yeah. He wants to give you a new heart, a new life. He wants to make himself be made known and real to you. Do you know he's a real God? He's just not ink on pages. He's just not a figment of an imagination. He's a real entity, a real God that wants to live in your heart. Oh, yeah. So we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, the unblemished, spotless Lamb of God. He had to be spotless. He couldn't have any sin or he wouldn't qualify. And so there have been many false messiahs, but only this one that came, only he can qualify us. We just read this. Let's read it again right up here. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, he has redeemed you. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed that you don't have to go through all kinds of religious things just to make appeasement with God? He did it at the cross. He redeemed us and saved us. Saints, to redeem means to purchase something back. We had been sold into bondage to sin and because of the fall in Adam and Eve, but Christ bought us back with his own blood. Have you ever heard this saying? The devil thought he had me, but I got away. Come on. I think there's like a little one of these songs. The devil thought he had me, and I got away. Come on, we sing that. But he did have us. Man, he had us in a trap. But Jesus came and said, I paid for them. Hallelujah. I need you guys to get a hold of this for a moment. I need you really to get a hold of this for a moment. You see, when we were out there just living for self and for sin and for all kinds of wrong reasons, man, I'm telling you, when Jesus came and when the blood covered us, hallelujah, I need you to get a hold of this right now. Because this is where we stumble and we fumble when we become saints of God, meaning we come into salvation and God saves us, okay? We do not live a perfect life after salvation. I hope you know that. We strive for perfection. But religion will say you missed the mark and you failed. Listen. When you come into the saving knowledge and God pours out his blood and he saves you, the Bible says now when the Father looks down, he says, I see no sin. And let me just say this. This is not to give us a license to sin, no. But what it lets us know that when God the Father looks down, all he sees is the blood. Hallelujah. Come on. Did you catch that? All he sees is the blood. He doesn't see our sin. In other words, our sin is now covered. And then he says, I don't even remember it anymore. Listen, you may have done something to one of your family members. You might have cursed out your boss. Come on, people are going to remember what you've done and they'll always point it back to you. Well, I remember what you did in 1985. I still remember what you did. The Bible says that God remembers your sin no more. Come on, man, listen, this is not about let's make a deal. This is the deal. He's washed us. He's cleansed us. You need to now walk in victory. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because the devil and all his dominions, they're going to come every day and try to remind you of what you've done. Man, you got to look at the devil and say, you know what? You a lie and the father of lies. And guess what? Jesus is about to come and he's going to cast you in the lake of fire. Amen. Don't come to my home no more. Don't even come to my mind because I'm covered by the blood. It's got to be about the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Come on. Somebody got to give him praise and glory right now. It's about the blood. Hallelujah. Because look what the blood does. It does this. It's about reconciliation. Listen, we were all lost without a cause, man. Man, we were out doing our own thing. And then God came and he called us. He saved us. He reconciled us back to a relationship with the Father. Come on. That's what he's all about. He's about restoring your life. He's about picking up the pieces. He's all about when we were all Humpty Dumpties who sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty what? Had a great fall. I think I still remember that fairy tale. But he's the one that picks up the pieces. And it's not a Tower Power song. You see, I can still remember those things, but God remembers them no more. Thank God. Come on. He saved us. He's delivered us. He's putting our pieces back together. And have we arrived yet? No. We'll never arrive to that place with God until he comes for us. So now we're just striving. We're saying, God, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Lord, I'm pressing toward the prize of the call in Christ Jesus. My life now wants to glorify you. My life wants to praise you. My life wants to live for you now. I used to once run with the devil. But now, I've traded dance partners. I'm not dancing with the devil no more. I'm dancing with the Holy Ghost. Come on. That's right. I know some of you can shout with the best of them. So it was the Father's good pleasure to reconcile us. But he could only do it through the blood. Reconciliation only comes through the blood. It's not just what he wrote. It's what he had to do. It's right up here in Colossians. Look at this. And you who once were alienated and enemies. Did you know that you were an enemy to God? Come on. Just go back and remember your life that once was living in darkness. The Bible says you were an enemy to God. You weren't his friend. And not everyone in this world is his son and daughter. We're his creation. So when people say, yeah, man, you know, I go to church, that don't mean nothing. Oh, yeah, man, you know, I do this when I drive by a church. I'm all right. No, you're not. Look, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Come on, we could all think of the dirt, can't we? Man, some of us were really muddied up. And yet now he has what? Reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. He had to die. He had to die for you. He had to die for me to present you holy and blameless and above reproach and inside. You see, we can't do anything without the blood. As I just shared, God now looks on us as holy and blameless. Why? Because when we all have to stand before God, Jesus is our mediator. He's our attorney. He's the one that stands in the gap. He goes before his father and says, I got him covered. And so guess what? Bam, we've been exonerated by the blood. Come on, let me just say this. If some of you did a horrendous crime and now you're standing before the judge and you're looking at 30, 40, maybe life, and you're going, man, if only I would have thought about that. And then the judge is ready to, bam, hit the mallet and bring judgment. And then here comes someone that says, I've paid for their price. And the judge will look at it and says, yeah, you're right. Bam, I set you free. How many of you would, man, rejoice or go back to that life of crime? Think about it. Think about it for a moment. If God has freed us from a place that's called hell, are you going to walk back and wallow back in what he delivered you from? Or is your life now going to praise him and glorify him? And you will show the world, man, there was a judgment on me, and the judge set me free. You have to look at that in natural terms. Some of you can't see it spiritually. So I got to present it in the natural. But that's how God sees it. It's what he's done for you. This is why when we get saved, let us walk with great joy. Let us walk with victory. Let us all remember what he's done for us. You know why? Because he justifies us. You know what that means? That means when God looks at you and I, he looks at us just as if we've never sinned. What? That's right. Look at this. It says in the Word right here. Look at this. Right up here. In Romans, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified. He did it by his blood. He's the one that justified. Hey, listen, judge. I've justified them now with my blood. Look at this. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. We were all children of wrath. I mean, in other words, judgment was proclaimed upon us already. Before we came into this world. And God said, no, man, I got them. I got them. These are mine. The devil can't touch them. The world can't touch them. Even my father can't touch them no more because I have covered them with my blood. Man, you got to get a hold of this today. The wrath of God was upon us. And yet, hallelujah, he blessed us. And so to justify is to declare you no longer guilty. What? Man, some of us men are so rotten to the core, yet God says, I've justified you. Come on, you know how we can roll sometimes. You know how things can slip out sometimes. And yet God, in his mercy, he justified us. Come on. And then when he justifies you, he sets you apart. That's what sanctification. He sets you apart. He does it through his own blood. Look at this in Hebrews 3:12 right up here. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. We were all outside of the gate. We were all outside of salvation. So he had to come to the cross, shed it, and then called each and every one of us one by one. Did you notice we didn't all come in a group? He called you in 19 so-and-so. He called you in 19 so-and-so. He called you. He called me. And he drew us by his grace, because we were outside of the gate. We were like dogs. You ever seen dogs at a gate trying to get in? That's what we were. We were like dogs out there. But he may sanctify the people with his own blood. That's you and I. Put your name down there. He sanctified us. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Look at this all right up here. We're coming in for a close. Christ's blood keeps on cleansing us from sin. Did you know that? It's not a one-time deal. You know, if you go buy something at Best Buy, it's only good for 30 days. You better go take it back if you don't like it. You go day 31, sorry. You had your chance. But look at 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from what? Some. Wait. All sin. Thank you, God. All sin. Saints, the verb tense signifies the continuing process of cleansing that accompanies sanctification. We also have God's promise in verse 9. Look at this, right up here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and what? Righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you said. I don't care about the person you cursed out that almost hit you when you were trying to find a parking this morning. He still cleanses us. He looks past our boo-boos. He looks past all that because he knows we're frail. He came to save a people that couldn't save themselves. And so I close with these questions, saints. Number one, have you ever taken your sin seriously, recognizing it for what it truly is? Or do you just, well, I don't care. Hey, I shared it a couple weeks ago. You'll just get to heaven sooner. Hey, I want God to use me as much as he can down here before I have to go. Can I get an amen? Amen. I still want to enjoy my children, my grandchildren. I still, you know, there's a future and a hope. But one day he's going to come for each and every one of us. Yes. And so how are you taking care of your temple? Are you honoring God? And like I said, are you taking your salvation seriously? Number two, what jokes, excuses, or rationalizations have you used in the past to downplay your sin? It's all right. It's just one time. And that one time leads to a second time and a third time. Next thing you know, man, what time is it? And who's that person you coming out of the stove with? Number three, Are you trusting in the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Is Jesus the one that you can honestly say, He has forgiven me. He has cleansed me. He has washed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Did you know, saints, that when you leave today, you have to understand if you've been washed in the blood, you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed forever and ever until He comes. Number four, if not, on what or whom are you planning to rely when you stand before God to be judged? I got it down. I'm okay. How do we say it? I'm all right. And we used to say that, you know, I'm all right. I forgot that word. It just came to mind. Come on. Saints, when we realize that it's the blood, and I'm glad we're talking about the blood today, because there may be someone here that's never been washed in the blood. And guess what? No, we don't take you down to a slaughterhouse and drain blood and then throw blood on. No, it don't work like that. We come to Jesus by faith. We say, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. I'm here, Lord. Cleanse me. Wash me, God. And by faith, the blood applies. He puts application upon your faith, upon your life. And then, guess what follows right after that? His Spirit. His Spirit comes to take residence in your heart. Man, and that's when you know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord liveth. How many of you can honestly say He's living inside your heart right now? How many of you can say, well, maybe, I don't know. Well, today's the day. I'm going to say this simple prayer with all of us. I believe someone's listening right now online. Do you know that the Word of God does not come back void? There's people that I have I didn't have a clue that's listening. And yet, I have what's called Google Analytics connected to our website, and people are downloading our messages around the world, but I don't know who they are. It just shows an IP address that's downloading the messages. Yeah. And so that's a sign that, you know what? God, it's your faith. Yes. It's our faith that we're putting the Word out. Amen? That someone's going to get saved. We don't know. Aren't you so blessed that when you see God face to face, He's going to show you some folks. This is your faith. You believed. And they're here because they heard your faith. They saw you. And that's what God wants to do in our life. And so pray this simple prayer with me. Now, I just want you to just know this. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Prayer is a tool that God uses here on earth so that we who are very sinful can communicate with the Holy God. That's when He inclines His ear. Okay, now I'm listening. When you cry out with a heart of repentance, you say, oh God, I've sinned. I want to walk in your ways now. I want you in my life, God. Forgive me, cleanse me. Oh, God, I can't do anything without you. I can't do anything. And if that's you, if you're here or listening, pray this simple prayer. We're all going to pray this with you as a family. And it's a simple prayer. Did you know that the prayer that's very simple for some intellectuals, they can't figure it out. But guess who figures this out? Guess who knows this without even trying to study it? And are you sure? Ask the little children right now in Sunday school. They believe who Jesus is. Ask the little children right now when they come out of class. Those little kids love God. And God is saying, humble yourself like a child. Humble yourself like them. And man, he will make himself so known to you, if not immediately. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on. Give them glory and honor. Hallelujah. Praise him for what he's done in your life. Come on. Come on. Yes, right. That's right.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.